We're in the studio now with Sarah Stewart Dwyer, a certified water specialist here in Redwood Falls, works with Magic Water. Hello.
Good morning.
What prompted this interview is I stepped out of my office yesterday, and you were chatting with some of the people here at KLGR. I think it's fair to say you were grumbling about some of the misconceptions you were saying that people have about their water use here in Redwood. And I said, well, hey, we have airtime that we have, you know, to fill. And so let's just tell people about it. So let's just get started. What are some of the misconceptions about water use or about their water softeners or such that people have here in Redwood Falls?
And I don't even know if it's specific to Redwood Falls necessarily. It's just in general. And I just want to help educate people, mainly.
Right, right.
And,
okay.
And one of the things that I find interesting, and I'm glad that they do, when the city... First, let me back up, because I want people to know that the people that work for the water department here in town and water departments all over the state really do a great job, because they absolutely understand that this water is going to their families and friends, and so they are doing everything that they can to provide a safe product, essentially. But there are things that can be done to improve it, because the reality is that a municipality can't do everything. And the other piece of it is that there are a lot of private wells throughout the state, over 200,000.
Oh, I had no idea.
So
cities can only do so much, and at a certain point, the homeowner or business owner needs to start taking some responsibility, too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I guess that's kind of where I'm feeling like maybe people just don't have all the information that they need mm-hmm. in order to best do that. But one of the things that the city of Redwood does that I kind of noticed they had a tagline when they sent out their annual drinking water testing report mm-hmm. that I thought was a really great phrase. It says something to the effect of, just because it's safe doesn't mean you can waste it. And that's really true. We're all guilty of it at one time or another, but water is a precious resource, and a very small percentage of the water on Earth is what we use for drinking. So it's even more important to protect it. You know, probably about 3% of all the water in the world is what we use for what we call working water, which is, you know, doing the laundry, washing the dishes, those sorts of things. And about 1% of that is drinking water. So if you think about that on a worldwide scale, It really is important for us to take care of our water and protect it. And I think that in Minnesota in general, because water is so plentiful here, we sometimes forget that. But the reality is that we are seeing changes. One of the things is aquifers are not replenishing at the rate that they once did throughout the state, and that there's more population, so therefore more water usage. Farming practices have changed. The way we use water has changed. And so we want to make sure that everybody's doing their part to protect it.
Like we said, the city can only do so much. And you want to take the strain off of the lagoon system. And what are some ways maybe that individual homeowners can do to just, you know, do their part to keep the water that leaves their house clean?
Just a very basic thing is leaks. It is amazing to me how often we encounter a home where they have a faucet that's dripping, a toilet that's seeping, those sorts of things. It seems like it wouldn't add up to much, but over time, that really ends up being a lot of water down the drain. So that's just a simple thing to do. Just check your home for leaks. And if you don't know how to do that, contact a local plumber. But one of the easiest ways that you can do it, if you're on a municipal source, everybody has a water meter inside their home. And generally, there is some kind of shutoff after that meter that you can close. Now, if you're in an older home and you haven't used it before, you may not want to do this without consulting a plumber or the city, because sometimes they stick, or, you know, if they break, that's not a good thing, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But basically, just shut off the water to your house. Wait, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. Turn the water back on. And if you hear a rush of water go back into the lines, that means that there is a leak in your home somewhere. That means that in that 15 or 20 minutes that you had the water supply shut off, water is draining down somewhere.
And a leak can, I mean, that can be gallons and gallons of water. Like
yep.
Every day or every week?
Every day, every hour, every week. Generally, if it gets to be really like a real major leak, most of the times the city will let you know that, hey, you've got something going on in your house because you're using way more water than you normally do. But don't let it get to that point. You know, be a little bit proactive and make sure that you don't have any leaks in your home. And long term and kind of going like the next step further, when you have a water softener and it's a metered water softener, which is what is recommended, if you have a slow leak and it's a slow enough leak, it's not enough to necessarily register on the metering system of the softener. So therefore your softener is using, it's, you're softening more gallons than your softener realizes, and you start getting hard water in between. And so we will get calls sometimes that say, hey, my water's hard, my softener's not working. And often it's because of a leak. It's because it was such a slow leak, it's not turning the meter, and therefore it doesn't know it used the water. So ultimately, you're still wasting water. It affects when it regenerates, those sorts of things. So that's a really simple one. Look for leaks. That's something anybody can do right now today.
One of the things that you mentioned yesterday was about people's water softeners. When the new Redwood Falls drinking water treatment plant came online about 8 or 10 years ago, there were stories in the radio and on the newspaper telling people the water coming out of this new treatment plant is cleaner, so you don't need to have your water softener run as often. Are people doing that?
For the most part, yes, but we still are encountering homes where we get into the home where they haven't reset their softener, and that's just wasting salt and water and putting more down the drain than you need to. So if you live in Redwood and you never had your softener readjusted for the new water chemistry, that is something else that you want to do as soon as possible. It's going to save you money, one, because you're getting charged for the water and you're paying for the salt.
Yes.
But number two, it's the responsible thing to do, again, to help protect our water and what we're discharging into the wastewater treatment plant. The other thing is that we're seeing less and less of them, but there are two types of softeners. There are the what we call a timer or a day clock, and then there's a metered. And the timer or day clock softeners, the way that you would know that you have one of those is that you tell it what days to regenerate. So it's not based on your actual water usage. A metered system is going to be based on your actual water usage. Softeners have gotten a lot more efficient over time, and that's really what you want, because if you have the timer day clock style, you are most likely wasting salt and water again. So again, you're discharging more than you absolutely need to. So specifically in Redwood, when the new treatment plant went online, that cut everything in better than half. So most people, you know, I can only speak to what we do, but this is going to be generally true, I think, across the board. Most softeners that were readjusted in town are getting about double or better the gallons between regenerations than they were before. So you're using half, or, you know, you're using half of what you were using in terms of salt and water, which is a good thing.
The water that comes out of the water treatment plant here in Redwood is something like 75% RO water?
Right. So the plant that they built here is a reverse osmosis plant. And what that means is that you can't put pure reverse osmosis water through the water mains. It would start dissolving things because it becomes more aggressive. So let me back up. Water is a universal solvent. If you let something sit in water long enough, it'll eventually dissolve it. It might take a million years, but it will eventually happen. When you pull out all of the solids and all of the other things that are competing with water, it makes the water even more aggressive. It increases its ability to dissolve. So that is why there's a blend. So 75% of the water is reverse osmosis. 25% of the water is, it's been filtered to remove the iron and the manganese, but it's blended back in so that it brings up the total dissolved solid amount so that it's not going to start eating up infrastructure.
At city council meetings like 10 years ago, and they were planning this water treatment plant, the one that they currently have, they would talk about how, well, if we make the water too clean, it's going to hurt people's pipes. And that seemed counterintuitive to me. No, isn't really pure water good for the pipes? It turns out, no, you need a certain amount to protect the pipes.
Right. So that's why you'll see when someone has a reverse osmosis that the lines coming out of it are always going to be either plastic or stainless steel. Because if you were to use, for example, copper lines, it would eventually dissolve the copper. You get pinholes in the copper. So, okay. Right, it does seem opposite of what we would think, but that is why that you need that little bit of solids to protect the plumbing. But one thing I do want to point out, and this is one thing that is not well understood. There are people that believe that softened water is corrosive and that if your water's too soft, it's going to eat up your plumbing. That is not true. The only time that that will happen is if it is naturally occurring soft water. There can be other things in the water that will make it corrosive, but softening the water with a water softener is not going to corrode your pipes. That is not an accurate statement. So I just want to clear that up as well, that soft water is only going to help your plumbing because you don't have the hardness scale building up on heating elements, building up in your pipes, building up on your fixtures, and that's going to protect the investment in your home.
I noticed you brought in a visual aid with you. You have what looks like a plastic canister filled with, to me, little white aspirin tablets.
It's exactly what it is.
Oh, good guess. Okay, so why did you bring in a plastic container with a number of little tablets here? And I just for our listeners, I know visual aid for radio is a little silly, but I will go ahead and take a picture of this, and when we post this on our website and Facebook pages, we'll go. You can look at the picture there.
Sure. It's an aspirin tablet. So in water treatment, we measure hardness in what we call grains per gallon. Hardness is primarily composed of calcium and magnesium. That is what gets that rock-like buildup on faucets and mm-hmm. heating elements.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Anyone who got water from the tap before the new water treatment plant in Redwood is very familiar with all the buildup on their faucets.
Yep. So what I brought is I brought three different containers, and each one represents a different hardness. So one of them represents 5 grains per gallon of hardness. One represents 20, and the third one represents 35 grains per gallon of hardness.
Per gallon?
Per gallon.
Okay.
So what the next step of it, what it's showing is that if your water was, say, 5 grains per gallon hard, or that's mm-hmm. how much hardness you had, and you had 4 people living in your home, the average of what a person uses per day is 75 gallons of water per day. That's probably a little bit high, but that's kind of the standard that we use. That includes, you know, flushing the toilets and showering and laundry and cooking and all of that. But this first one, if you had 4 people at 75 gallons per water per day, that would mm-hmm. be 300 gallons of water per day. The aspirin tablet is about the equivalent of 5 grains per gallon.
Okay.
Okay? So for every gallon of water at 5 grains per gallon, you'd have an aspirin tablet's worth of basically dissolved rock. Yep. So if you didn't have a water softener, this is how much in one day, how much dissolved rock would go through all of your plumbing, your washing machine, your dishwasher, your shower heads, all of that. And
this is a plastic container that has the least amount of
correct.
Of little tablets in it. Okay.
Yep. So then we move up to 20 grains per gallon. Same 4 people, same 75 gallons per person per day. So again, 300 gallons per day. And the last one being 35. The water coming out of the treatment plant here in Redwood now runs, the last time I tested it, it was about 19 grains. So we're looking at roughly this middle container, mm-hmm. not quite this much. So if you didn't have a water softener, that's how much dissolved rock would be going through all of your plumbing.
The middle container.
Yep, every day if you were using 300 gallons per day. Obviously, if you're using more or less, that's going to change it. But it's more to give a visual of, you can't see hardness because it's dissolved in the water, but when you can look at it like this, it really starts to build a picture in your mind, and it makes sense of why you don't want that in your plumbing and what that would do to, I mean, let's face it, appliances aren't inexpensive. Fixtures aren't inexpensive. Your home typically is your biggest investment, so you want to do something to protect it. And we know that even with a little bit of hardness, it affects the efficiency and how much energy you use to heat hot water. So if you have a hot water heater and you've got a little bit of hardness coming through that's scaling up on that heating element, mm-hmm. it has to heat everything that's deposited on that heating element before it can start heating water. Therefore, you're using more energy. All of those things together that not only start to cost you more money, but now we have a disposal issue too. You know, when these appliances start conking out, sometimes heating elements can be replaced, but oftentimes, if there's enough hardness scale, the unit has to be replaced. So there's an expense and a disposal issue there.
I was just going to say, this isn't just for hot water heaters like in people's basements or utility rooms, like even just a coffee maker.
Yep.
Something like that.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The other thing is when you have hard water, so the place that most people notice it is the shower, because you get that soap scum hardness buildup on the walls mm-hmm. and the doors and things. And you have to eventually clean that off, which is difficult to do. Same thing with your faucets, same thing with your toilets. So now let's think about getting back to that wastewater discharge. If you're having to use strong chemicals to remove the hardness, that is also going to go down the drain. So now we're putting more chemicals down the drain than what we need to.
So there are all these ways that people can take a little bit more responsibility for their water use in their house, and it ends up benefiting them because it benefits the entire house, it benefits all the appliances, and then it benefits, all this water that you use in your house goes into the city's sanitary sewer, ends up having to be sent down to the lagoons area to be cleaned, and then in the end discharged into the river. And so anything you can do in your own house is going to help out the city, and then we don't get yelled at by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency as much.
Right. And so another thing that I guess I would like to point out is, number one, in a wastewater discharge, when it goes to a wastewater plant, there are some things that the wastewater treatment plant cannot remove. They're in the water. Chlorides is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Most pharmaceuticals or personal care products is another. You know, shampoos, drugs, soaps, those sorts of things.
Yeah, I think I've heard that that you're not supposed to, if you have medicines, that you're not supposed to dispose of them by flushing them down the toilet or something like that.
Yep, and that's exactly why.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So, and so the question that comes up pretty frequently is, well, why aren't we just treating the wastewater? Why don't we just catch it on the back end? The answer to that is, it is insanely, and I mean insanely expensive. Few, if any, communities could afford to do it. It just isn't realistic. So the only way that we can improve the wastewater discharge is by not putting it there in the first place.
Okay.
And ultimately, by doing these things, you're saving money again, because if you're a taxpayer, that's what funds most of these projects. So if you can, again, even if you can't eliminate it, limit it,
mm-hmm.
it's only going to benefit the community.
In just the past couple of years, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has sort of been cracking down on, I believe it's phosphates, going into the Minnesota River.
Yep.
And so towns along the Minnesota River, like Montevideo and Redwood and Morton and I think North Redwood, are all being told your water treatment facilities aren't good enough and you need to build new ones, or will need if you don't do something to improve the situation. And those are multi-million dollar plants, each and every one of them.
Yes, they are.
And so, again, is anything people can do to improve the water that's coming out of their house or out of their business is going to benefit them in the long run, because that's a multi-million dollar water treatment plant we won't have to pay for, at least right. in the near future.
Right. And let's talk about that for a minute, about sources of phosphates. Most soaps, by law, have had to change their formulas so that there aren't phosphates in detergent, you know, laundry soaps mm-hmm. and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so you may notice that your favorite soap works differently or seems different. That's why, because the chemical formula has been changed. And sometimes it isn't so much what's happening in the river right here. You have to think about it in terms of, we're adding this amount here, and the Minnesota River feeds into the Mississippi, and the Mississippi has all these rivers that feed into it, and it eventually ends up in Louisiana in the ocean. So if you think about, if we all contribute a little bit, by the time it gets there, we've contributed a lot. So MPCA, they are dictated a lot of times what limits need to be here in Minnesota, because the Mississippi headwaters is in Minnesota. So they're not just looking at what's going on in Minnesota. They're looking at what's going on at a federal level down in Louisiana and what we can do in every state in between here.
Right,
I mean,
it's not
just Minnesota, but
By the time the water gets down to Louisiana, they've got thousands of miles of stream runoff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. I hope that's helpful, and you know, I'm happy to take questions from anybody. You know, if you want to call or stop in, that's great. And like I said, my goal is to educate. I want people to understand that we all play a part in it, and everybody's got to do their part, and that, you know, it seems like one person isn't going to make a difference, but when that one person becomes
1,000 people,
right. Mm-hmm. We really do make a difference.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.